Thanks for listening to the Gregor Show podcast. Are you looking for something unique? Lakewood has a large selection of special edition trucks by Chevrolet. Life is too short not to be special. Learn more at lakewoodchev.com.
Let's get to Workout Wednesday now, brought to you by Custom Fit. Want to look good, eat good, feel good? Go to customfit.ca and they'll set up a program that works for you. Jeff Woods, over 20 years in the business, former Sunshine Boy of the Year in 1983, joins us now. Woods, and that is true. I didn't even make that up. People think I'm joking. That's a fact. I only knew that because Woods still has like a 15x40 picture of it in his office. It's unique. A lot of people seem to maybe be wasting their time exercising. Not doing the exercise itself, but not doing it right.
Well, that's true, Jason. Here's the thing. It's more the exercise intensity. I mean, they could be doing, you know, their biomechanical patterning and all of that part of their exercise right. But, you know, most of the time people are sort of exercising in a range that we would classify as moderate. So that would be somewhere between 50 and maybe 75% of maximal heart rate. Or if you're using a perceived exertion scale between 1 and 10, it would probably feel like something between like a 5 and a 7 out of 10 for perceived exertion, which there's nothing wrong with that. You're going to expend some energy and there's going to be some health benefits from it. But where the magic happens, it happens with vigorous intensity. So that's sort of in that 75% to 90% of your maximal heart rate or perceived exertion of 7.5 or 9 out of 10. And some examples of that might be like some continuous activities like jogging, for example, tennis, you know, cycling continuously for 10 miles an hour and then sort of going over up in different terrains, going uphill, or carrying, landscaping, like doing some shoveling of earth, that sort of thing. That would be vigorous. Now, beyond vigorous comes like maximal effort training. So 100% of your maximal heart rate. And Olympic caliber athletes, they would do some repeat anaerobic recovery drills where they would work at 100%. Because that's what they'd need to be competitive, Gregor. So the average person obviously doesn't train that hard. Most people train in that 50 to 75% of their maximal heart rate. That's where most people go.
Okay. So now the moderate intent. Now, a lot of us maybe just aren't wired to exercise vigorously. Is that fair?
Yeah, no, it's true. And there are a handful of people that, for whatever reason, just are not really intense individuals. So they don't exercise at vigorous levels of intensity. But here's the thing that we should understand. If you're going to work out in more moderate zones, you should have realistic expectations of what you can achieve in terms of changing your body composition or improving your run times, for example. But for the most part, most people want to drop a few pounds of body fat, right? So here's what we should understand. Number one, when we're going to get rid of body fat. We don't metabolize the fat cells. We actually expire most of the fat as a respiratory gas when we breathe. So the more oxygen that we can expend, the more fat we sort of blow out of our bodies as carbon dioxide. And that shrinks the size of the fat cell, but it's directly related to exercise intensity. So if we're working out, for example, at lower levels of intensity, we don't expend as much of that respiratory gas. So we're not sort of getting the full benefit of the activity. So if we start to work out more aggressively with a higher level of oxygen being expended, whether you're doing like weight training circuits or you're doing sort of aerobic circuits, that vigorous activity is heavy enough and high enough where you're going to force some adaptations to take place in your body, actually get stronger, get quicker, have better aerobic capacity, but more importantly, you're going to blow out some of that fat and shrink the size of the fat cell. And that comes, again, with the more vigorous activity. So it'd be a perceived exertion of probably 8 or 9 out of 10, so working more aggressively. You wouldn't be able to talk, Gregor, if you're working out at that level.
Trust me, I see people all the time like, you're not working hard enough if you're spouting off the whole time when you're lifting weights or doing anything. Now, if vigorous activity is better, why do governing bodies and healthcare professionals keep prescribing to people moderate intensity exercise?
Okay, good question. So with that, it's primarily a health policy perspective, Jason. So if we were telling people, for example, that the message is like vigorous activity is the thing that works, for somebody who's more sedentary, it's very discouraging. It would scare a lot of them off physical activity if they already thought, well, you know, there's no benefit to me coming and working at a more moderate intensity because I'm not really getting any results. And that's not true. You are getting results because any activity is going to help to reduce the probability of chronic disease, especially in sedentary populations. So, like, don't be discouraged, and it should be a progression. It should be something that you work into, build a base of stability with your exercise and progress from there, and then work into more intense modes of exercise. But that's where the magic happens. That happens when you start to work more aggressively. And so even if you're doing weights, for example, we can apply this theory to weight training. You know, if you're not failing when you lift weights, you're probably not getting the full benefit in terms of making your bones as dense as they could be, nor are you doing as much as you could be to increase the amount of lean muscle tissue, especially for aging populations. This would be really important. So try to lift weights that make you fail between 8 and 12 repetitions. And failure is not a subjective thing. You should not be able to lift weights if you're doing 8 repetitions. You should not be able to do a 9th. If you're doing a 12 repetition set, you should not be able to do a 13th rep. Like, you should fail. So you should drive this message home to people that...
Yeah, but you'd have to do that with someone around, because obviously you don't want to fail on the 12th if you're doing bench press or something to have it fall down on you, right?
No, that's correct. So, I mean, there's some exercises that you couldn't do it. But, like, if you're doing a deadlift, for example, you most certainly could work on your own and work to failure there.
Now, what does a vigorous workout look like? Is it more aerobic, or is it the formula for weight training?
Well, let's look at, let's say, for example, that you're just going out and you do steady state runs. And that's typically where it's a continuous thing. People will find a pace and they'll just run for a period of time and they can manage it for 30, 60 minutes. It's not very much a difficulty at all. But if we wanted to do like a fartlek training, and that's like a Swedish word for play on speed, where we run for maybe 20 or 60 seconds, and then we sort of bring down the speed of our run, and we run at a recovery rate, you know, for 2 or 3 minutes. And we use that as a little interval, and we repeat that interval 5 times. Because of the amount of oxygen that you've got to process in that high intensity 20 to 60 seconds, we can actually do more in that 20 to 60 seconds, Gregor, in terms of improving our aerobic capacity and expending all of that carbon dioxide that I talk about, where it helps to be more responsible for getting rid of fat, expending, like blowing out the fat. There's a far greater return on time working intently like that, but you have to work up to it. And with the weights, like I say, with weight training, most people don't put an external load on their body when they lift weights to really see any benefit. They don't work hard enough because they don't work to failure. So when we apply the formula to weight training, all that means is that we're going to be using heavy enough weight loads that force us to fail in the lower repetition range, so we actually increase our amount of lean muscle tissue and make our bones stronger as a result as well.
Now, Dennis quickly asked, do lighter weights define muscle tone and heavier weights build bulk?
No, that's sort of a misguided thing. We can actually achieve great muscularity and tone with both scenarios, lifting light weights to failure or lifting heavy weights to failure. The key thing to understand in this conversation is working to failure. So you can get great results even working lighter, but it's just you have to do more repetitions, obviously. But the thing to understand is that you have to fail. You have to work the muscles to complete fatigue.
Complete fatigue. I love it. Woods, thanks for this, man. I appreciate it. And say hello to your 1983 Sunshine Boy of the Year photo.
Yeah, I love you, Gregor. You're great. Thanks for putting that out there.